Hello everyone, and welcome to the Walk podcast. My name is Adi Kishore, and I'm the Insight Director at Walk. Now, it has been getting on in the year, but it's still the season for looking ahead at the key issues that marketers are going to be facing in the coming year. And that's what we'll be doing in the next 15 minutes or so in this 3 in 15 episode. Walk's sister brand, Contagious, recently launched their Contagious Radar report, and here to talk to us about it is Alex Jenkins, Editorial Director at Contagious. Welcome, Alex, and thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I feel like something of an interloper, a contagious person here in the Walk studio.
Well, we're all part of One Essential now, so welcome aboard.
Thank you.
So, Alex, Contagious has recently released the Radar report. Can you tell us what that's about?
Sure. So the Contagious Radar is designed to be a look ahead for the next 12 months or so, and really to look at the opportunities and some of the challenges for brands and ad agencies. So the way we put the report together is we do a little bit of qual stuff. So we interview around about sort of 10 or 15 sort of very, very senior people from the disciplines of creative and strategy, and also brand marketers from places like Lego and Samsung. Then we also kind of complement that with some quant research, where we again go to, it's not a huge group, it's about 100 people, but they've been kind of hand selected. Again, they're kind of equally very, very high up, kind of like heads of holding companies, heads of agencies, heads of brands. And again, just to get their sense on what are the key challenges and opportunities ahead. So the idea is it's not meant to be insanely comprehensive and representative of the industry. It's meant to be a bit of a temperature check on what the most senior people in the industry are kind of looking forward to or worrying about, I suppose.
And the focus of the report is on creativity or marketing. What are some of the issues that you look at?
We let the qual part of that kind of decide, really. So we ask these guys some reasonably open-ended questions, but the contagious lens is very much sort of focused in the creative bit of the world. But it really kind of looks at a lot of the issues.
Now, I believe one of the key issues that sort of bubbled up in your research and that you focused on in this report was AI. That's certainly topical. Mm-hmm. It feels like every industry conversation nowadays is about how AI is going to transform everything. What did you come across? What are some of the key findings?
Yeah, so, I mean, again, completely unsurprising that it's on a lot of minds. I think for us, we asked a couple of different questions. One was we asked people to rank different media by their creative opportunity, whether it was like one to focus on this year or one to leave in the last year. And generative AI was, you know, by far the top thing for people to focus on. I think what was interesting was seeing a bit of a shift in attitude from last year. And I think some of the people we spoke to said, you know, we'd maybe originally looked at generative AI maybe through the lens of being burnt by kind of the hype around Web3 and NFTs. So last year, they're a little bit more cautious. I think this year, we're seeing a lot more people putting a lot more kind of gravity and sort of credence towards that stuff. When we looked at how people's attitudes split, there was around about 50% of people were quite optimistic. There was sort of this is going to cut out the grunt work. It's going to leave more time for real creativity. There was maybe a less optimistic bit, which is, you know, around about 40%. Thought it was going to be the biggest disruption since the dawn of the internet. I think both of those things can be true at the same time. But I think generally there's sort of a kind of a positive caution around it, you might say. Cautiously positive. That'd be the better way of phrasing that.
That's an interesting phrase, because in some of the research we did for our Marketers Toolkit report, you know, we had sort of roughly 7 out of every 10 respondents, broad selection of marketers, agency and brand, were kind of looking at using AI in 2024, but only about 12% were sort of fairly aggressive in their plans. 58% chose the option that said cautiously progressive.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So it's very much a sort of test and learn kind of exercise, I think, right now. And, some of our research picked up on some of that as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. We phrased our research was we tried to just group people into kind of keep it nice and simple, right? 3 categories. People who are like, we are using it all the time was by far and away the smallest group of people. So around about 47% of people describe themselves as a tourist. I've used it once or twice, but I don't, you know, just to have a look, see what the hype is. It's not really in my day-to-day workflow. An equal 47% of people said, I've never touched it. So there's an interesting balance between people seeing it as this huge opportunity, and it's really sort of being talked about a lot. But the vast majority of people, like, you know, sort of 90%, you know, plus, are never using it or barely touched it. So that they focused on it, but not really. I think the sense I get is still like, but I'm kind of concentrating on the day job a little bit. No real time to look at kind of the thing that's, you know, actually accelerating potentially past us.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, certainly some of the uses that we're sort of turning up is, you know, a lot of eliminating the grunt work kind of things, like creating different versions, dealing with languages, writing summaries. It's more in that kind of area. One question we did ask was, you know, how concerned are you about it replacing humans? And about 25% were concerned that humans would be replaced in the business. So presumably 75% that were not. But actually out of that, about 4 in 10 just didn't really have an opinion.
Yeah. So I think that speaks to the idea of like, I'm a tourist or I've never touched it. I don't really know. I mean, I'm sort of maybe a little bit more on the doomer end of things than most around this. I think just when you look at the speed of the improvement and you see how good, I mean, we weren't that long ago. It was like 12 months. Everyone's laughing at, you know, AI can't do hands. Hands are the giveaway. And like now it does hands very, very well. And then you only need to look at, you know, something like Sora, which, you know, came out the other day, and the quality of the videos coming out is absolutely, you know, sort of breathtaking. And I suspect the tourists and the never touched it people may have seen the stuff and been somewhat shocked, but maybe aren't even aware of some of the progress. Because I think it's the pace of change that is actually going to slap people around the face.
There's always a bit of that, though, right? I mean, if you look at TikTok, for example, I mean, it became a consumer phenomenon. You just had people using it. And that's when Adland sort of said, oh, well, wait a minute, there's an opportunity here.
Yeah, there's a fascinating study. I say fascinating, in inverted commas. You can't see it on a podcast. It's fascinating. There's a German mathematician, computer scientist, a guy called Martin Gröchel, who is a specialist in combinatorial optimization. He basically looked at rates of improvement in the realm of computing, I think over about 9 or 10 years. So over that time period, he saw hardware improvements improving like about 1,000-fold, which is incredible. That's sort of Moore's law, transistors on a circuit stuff. But then he found algorithmic improvements vastly outstripped it, and it was like 40,000-fold. And the combinatorial bit comes in. He said, you combine the two, you get a 40-million-fold improvement. And that's the thing, I think, why it will slap people around the face, because they don't realize just the pace of change. It's a 40 million fold improvement over a decade. I've never met a single person in my life that got 40 million times better at their job in any time period, apart from if you go from like a baby through to like someone in their job. It's, I think that when you're dealing with those kind of speeds of change, it's just going to blindside vast swathes of the industry.
Interesting. So right now we're looking at versioning and summaries, but really AI is sort of set to take over pretty much everything.
Yeah, and I think there was another stat from the radar where we talked a bit about, we asked people how they gauge the quality of the output of the industry. And around about 5% of people rated it as crap, which is an improvement. Last year, about 10% thought it was crap. And around about 85% of people thought the output of the industry was average. So average plus crap, 90% of everything is rubbish, which is sort of Sturgeon's law stuff, right? And I think when you factor AI into this, you go, you know, a lot of the talk is, well, could it ever be better than a human at writing copy or coming up with creative ideas? The reality is it doesn't need to be. It needs to be absolutely average, and it can take on 90% of what's going on. I think that that is the scary bit, I imagine, for a lot of people.
Wow, that is quite the picture.
sorry for that picture.
Let's move quickly along to look at what else the report covered. I think you'd mentioned the agency model and remuneration was one of the issues that came up.
Yes, I think if AI was sort of the hot topic, actually, when we asked people to rank challenges, yeah, the sense of, you know, budget constraints, prevailing economic conditions, which actually was the same challenge that was ranked a number one last year as well. And there's some interesting, like, you know, again, in inverted commas, fun stats. So when we asked our survey respondents, do you think agencies are underpaid, adequately paid, or overpaid? The majority of agencies, like over 80%, thought they were underpaid. Kind of understandable. The majority of clients, I think about 60, 62%, thought agencies were either paid enough or overpaid, in fact. So, you know, I suspect that's always been the case, but I think there was a clear feeling in the report that the agency model is broken. And what came up was there's no real clear answers on how to price the value being created rather than the time being spent on it. And that was definitely seen as a big challenge.
That's been a long-running theme, I think, in the industry, isn't it? Ever since we moved from, you know, there was a sort of 15% commission model for a full-service agency. And then as things split up, it's just got very difficult to figure out where the value sits and how to price it.
I couldn't agree more. It's like when you see this is this is such a long-running issue. And there's a lovely quote from a guy called John Foster Dulles. He was a Secretary of State for the US back in the 1950s. Who said that, you know, the true measure of success isn't that you have a tough challenge, it's that you have a different challenge to the one you had last year. Because at least then you can see that there is progress. And when you look at this challenge of how we value the creativity and the output of agencies beyond times, that is we're talking decades. I mean, you know, we're going back decades and decades. And it does feel like that you either need to deal with this or stop complaining about it potentially. And I suspect that. Disclaimer, I'm not a legal expert, but what it would probably require is, you know, the holding companies to get together to agree on this stuff. I suspect that may be the formation of a cartel if they did that. But as I said, I'm not a legal expert, so I'm not going to go down that road.
Where did creativity rank in this process?
Interestingly, so the number, so if economic stuff was the number one challenge. The number two challenge was actually clients devaluing creativity, which possibly, again, speaks to, you know, the output of the industry being average or crap, and a little bit of a sense of, you know, good enough is fine. It's good enough. You know, do we need to shoot for, you know, kind of Cannes Lion Grand Prix creativity, or am I happy to play it safe? And I think, you know, we know that a lot of marketers do the risk aversion side of things. Go, well, I'd rather be safe and not fired than really kind of reach and potentially do something that could be a public disaster as much as it could be an absolute stellar thing. And again, it's sort of, I suspect this is probably not a new challenge. I think actually, again, last year and sort of year on year, the sense of clients devaluing creativity has probably been reasonably perennial. And again, you kind of look around like, well, who's going to step forward and solve that one as well?
How much, in your opinion, do you think it's also sort of economic or macroeconomic circumstance? I mean, we've obviously taken a pounding with COVID, and then just as we come out of it, there's been the Ukraine war and now the Middle East. Do you think that's part of why we're sort of struggling with the price value equation, with things like creativity that are a little harder to link directly to revenue?
100%. I think you've got all that stuff going on. This is why it's probably quite hard to solve. It's a reasonably complex picture. Like creativity, it is hard to put a price on something when you really want to price the effect of it, if you know what I mean. So once it has gone out into the world and it has worked, what is that worth to the brand? But you're charging up front before any of that has happened. Mm-hmm. While also still, you know, looking at, you know, consumers who have been hit by, you know, huge price hikes on things like utility bills from, like, you know, sort of conflict in Ukraine, like, you know, like you say, the post-COVID thing just hammering business. It's a very, very, you know, knotty, complex issue to try and solve. To bring it back to the specific response about the devaluing of creativity, that feels at least like a bit you can cling on to is, can we prove the value of creativity, which at least seems like a small step towards getting paid for creativity.
Great. Well, we've talked about a couple of key trends from the report. In your discussions, in your reviews, did you find anything that was sort of conspicuous by its absence? Something that's important but didn't get a look in?
Yeah, that's really interesting. So I think if you were to ask maybe people outside the world of Adland, what is, the number one or like top priorities and challenges facing the world, things like the climate crisis and sustainability would likely be on, a lot of people's lips after, I think, last year, broke all kinds of climate records, terrible, sort of flooding everywhere, terrible drought and wildfires. Sustainability wasn't mentioned once by a single one of our respondents. It was, such a hot topic a year or two back, and it is entirely notable by its absence. And I think there may be a few reasons for that. And it may be, in fairness, that it's not a marketing issue, in that I'm not saying it's completely not a marketing issue, but the places where you're going to most solve these issues is more in, maybe in manufacturing and distributing it, in these things. The marketing bit of it is maybe not where you're going to have the biggest impact. I think we also saw sustainability maybe comes a little bit under purpose for some people. I know that's not necessarily an accurate representation of it. But as part of the radar, we did ask people about, the Bud Light issue last year with the whole blow up around Dylan Mulvaney. And it wasn't a huge amount comparatively, but 25% of people said it completely changed their opinion on purpose and doing purpose-led marketing. We've seen a big, kind of pullback from that. I don't know. As a personal comment, it's a shame, I would say. It's a shame that it is not there when it's such an important thing. Marketers maybe aren't the first people you'd call on to solve the sustainability crisis. And I suppose the other thing that really stood out as being a curious finding, because it was in there, was around diversity. And most people, I think it was about 80%, so there was two groups of answer on here, but most people, around about 80%, believe they've either done enough to prioritise diversity or they're on track to have sorted out diversity. And the majority of people saying, we've got that, that's done. As far as it's solved or it's in the post, it'll be solved soon. Okay, this is very much a personal opinion. That kind of feels out of step when you look at what is still happening in the industry. When you go to an industry conference, you look at the makeup of the people in the audience, not necessarily the people on stage, even. I'm kind of applying a very kind of like, sample size of me onto an actual, sort of finding from a survey. It feels odd to say that we've 80% think we've kind of solved diversity.
So it sounds like the sort of social issues are kind of receding. You talked about purpose, you talked about sustainability, you talked about diversity. All of them seem to be sort of stepping back in the advertising world.
I think so. And I think it is, and you could factor into this sort of like the pendulum swinging back or a course correction on a bit of an over, swing towards purpose and a few people being burnt by Bud Light type things where they've maybe gone into an area they shouldn't, they've maybe tried to reverse into purpose, and they're maybe just retreating to a safer space. Because I think the flip side we're seeing balancing out is maybe, a type of advertising, a little bit more traditional, just entertaining, making people laugh, does seem to be on the resurgence. It was notably lacking during COVID, which for understandable reasons. And we're seeing a bit of a rise in that. So there's maybe a bit of we're not kind of getting the awards we used to at award shows for doing the big purposeful kind of stunts, and some of it was stunts, let's be honest, and a safer space. We don't necessarily want to get into some of these areas when we know there's maybe increasing kind of division in like political views, like kind of woke versus anti-woke, culture war stuff, and go, this is no place for my laundry detergent. An FMCG brand might just go, I'm just trying to sell something in a supermarket. I don't need to get involved in this.
Fascinating stuff, Alex. Thanks so much for that review of some of the key trends in the radar report from Contagious. And also thank you all for joining us for this discussion. This podcast, along with many others from Walk, is available on walk.com and on a number of podcast platforms. Please be sure to tune in. Thank you for listening.